Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me, we were just in the middle of talking about it. What is ruining Facebook?
Everybody being home. Listen to our podcast and get off Facebook. Because this is episode 33.
That's right. And are you saying that it's just an overload of content on Facebook?
And it's an overload of the same content because everybody's at home basically doing the exact same thing. Oh, we're doing this DIY project. Oh, we're helping our kids with school. Oh, we did this gardening project. Oh, we did this. And everybody's doing the exact same thing. So I'm seeing the same post like 3,000 times.
Right. I agree. I feel like it's, and we're guilty of doing the same thing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It is literally wash, rinse, repeat every single day.
Yes, it is.
So, now how do you feel? We have parents in different stages of, some of us have been, quote, homeschooling for 2 weeks. Some of it's 1 week. You are 3 days into it.
Yeah. 3 days.
How are you feeling? You just got an email from a teacher and you're like, yeah, fuck off, Miss Susie, or right.
She's like, oh, did Lennox get his packet? Yep, he got it Monday. He got it a day ahead, started doing work a day ahead. And then I made the fatal mistake of asking, should he be doing this online thing in addition to the packet? And she's like, well, if it's not too overwhelming for you or for him. Yes, it's too overwhelming.
Right.
Do you know how hard it was to get him to sit down and do the packet?
Right. The answer is yes. Yes, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, especially when you don't normally have children.
Right. And on top of your own workload, right? I mean, your own workload to then be sitting there teaching a child or even monitoring. I shared a meme yesterday. I only try to share the ones that I find are truly, truly funny. But the one that said, I'm homeschooling like that substitute teacher who rolls in the TV for a movie and just eats snacks in the back of the class.
Yes. But I can't do that because he's six.
Yeah, he's little. So like for Lorelai, I just scream it. Hey, did you do your homework? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
See ya.
That's what we do for Mason. That's easy.
Right.
Mason, did you get on? Did you do it? Yep, great. What'd you get? Tells me the score. He got a 92 on his last test. Perfect. Woo, keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. I feel with Mason, I'm more like a cheerleader, but with Linux, I'm more like a coach.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, and I'd like to upgrade to cheerleader status, please.
Right. And is that possible with a six-year-old?
No, it's not until he grows up.
Now, what do you feel about like the parents that are homeschooling that like I joked around, right, about doing home ec and this and that, blah, 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 blah. The truth is when Lorelai's done with school, I don't know what she does the rest of the day between normally she's done around lunchtime. She starts about 8:30. Done about lunchtime. She has to do a check-in call at like 2:45, but she's been done. I don't know what she's doing.
And as long as she's not burning down the house.
Yeah, I don't care. So I'm not really out there. Like if you see my kids cooking in the kitchen and I'm writing, ha ha, homeschooling, home ec. Truth is, mama didn't feel like fucking cooking that night. So I'm like, hey, somebody go in there and make me a party pizza for dinner.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Cooking. I made some black eyed peas the other day, and I was like, come on, Linux, home economics, go peel that onion for me.
Right. So the things that I don't want to do, I'm working into my homeschooling.
Exactly.
I'm not winning best teacher of the year.
Oh, no. So I'm not by any measure am I winning best. No, we have 3 meltdowns today, and...
It's 11 o'clock.
It's 11 o'clock. We've already had 3 meltdowns. Three times. I'm like, go to your room, go cry, get it over with. And when you're done, come back.
I am a go to your room and cry kind of person,
yeah,
too.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to see it. I don't got time. Go cry in your room. Come back when you're done.
Pretty much. And the longer you cry and the longer you make all this fuss and mess, the longer you're going to be stuck at the table doing work. That's how this...
100%. Do you think the go to your room thing is kind of like you get hit with a baseball and your parent tells you to, hey, just walk it off? Oh, really? I think it's the same. Like, go to your room, cry it off, come back when you're done. Like, walk it off
and come back. I think there's a difference between getting hit with a baseball and throwing a tantrum because you can't have your fucking toy. There's quite a difference.
Not in my dad's world. Yeah, not to old Chucky baby, there sure wasn't.
Yeah, no. You get hit with a baseball, I'm going to feel a little sympathy with you. You're crying because I won't let you put a toy at the table while you're doing your homework. No, go to your room. I don't want to hear that shit.
My dad was the complete opposite.
Really?
Teaching me to catch a softball because I played first base was I would stand, like our house in the backyard was shaped like an L. Mm-hmm. And so then this is the garage wall right here with siding. And my dad would stand here and I would stand here. And he would just beam the fucking ball at me. He was 30-something years old. I was 8.
Wow.
9. He would beam the ball because his thing was, well, if you can catch what I'm throwing, you can catch what any 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old is throwing you. And he wasn't wrong.
No, but that's, like, vicious.
And the couple times that I missed... I put a couple holes in the siding. He was not happy. So then it taught me, like, do not miss the ball. Catch the ball. It was actually pretty fucking helpful. I avoided getting hit in the face until I played catcher or ump one time for him. Uh-huh. And took a ball off somebody's bat into my fucking mouth.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah. Where my teeth... cut the inside of my mouth. And my dad was like, just go sit down in the truck for a second. Like, he checked my teeth. There were none of them out. Thank God.
Right.
Sent me to the car. I looked at the mirror and I looked like a fucking platypus. He had me go back out there. It wasn't even my team. He was coaching a different team. Made me go play shortstop and started fucking beaming the balls at me. He didn't want me to be scared. He wanted me just to pick it back up. So, because, you know, if not, you get this reflex all of a sudden used to having.
Right, yeah. Like falling off a horse.
Exactly. So he just started fucking nailing the balls at me at shortstop. Throw it. Get down. He's insane. He was insane.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
It was good, though.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm glad you saw the positive in your dad beaming a fucking baseball at your head.
Yeah, hey, we all made the softball team, so I guess it worked.
Hey, right? I bet you did.
Whoops. So, what else is going on over there?
We cured our first pork belly and made bacon.
I saw that.
And so, well, we did the ham. You saw the ham. I didn't put the bacon on there. Mm-hmm. But the bacon, oh my God, girl. That is the best bacon I have ever had in my entire life. I mean, it's just so good. It had this yummy flavor. The fat was crispy and melted in your mouth, and it had a sugar taste to it from the rub. Oh my God. Yum. Oh yeah. Why are you laughing at me like that?
Because you should do a commercial. That shit was convincing.
Oh, it's so good.
That was the most delicious thing you've tasted.
It is. Well, don't worry. When I start selling bacon, that's what we'll use. We'll cut that clip out and be like, that's how we're going to sell the bacon.
How much of a profit can you get from a pound of bacon? Because bacon's fucking expensive in the stores. The good stuff?
Yeah. I probably could make, a good amount of profit. Because you got to think, I raised the pig. Pig cost me $50. I feed it scraps. So it doesn't really cost me anything there. And a little bit of that. And then cost me about $180 to butcher it, depending on how much the weigh is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, the bacon's just the pork belly, so I'd have to figure out.
Yeah, so most of it's profit, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Nice. Well, that's
cool.
Not
that I'm sharing right now.
Right.
That shit's good.
Yeah. We went to a wedding in December, and they had an appetizer that was like thick pieces of bacon candied in brown sugar.
Ooh, I bet that was good.
It was so good. And there were stacks of it. That's how you knew the bride had money. There were stacks of fucking bacon.
Right? Bring home the bacon.
Like, yeah, that shit's like $16.99 a pound.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No,
they're just stacking those dollar bills.
Yeah, I don't know how much I would charge. But it would be something up there like that.
Yeah, I mean, the good ones, I mean, that's a packaged one, right? So I would think that you could charge $22 a pound because yours is homegrown or organic or whatever all that other fucking mumbo jumbo might be. Because
it's all fresh and it's organic. It's not. So when you go, like, and there's such a difference between our bacon and the bacon you get at the store. Now the bacon we get at the store, it's so salty in comparison. Because they keep theirs processed in the cure much longer. And it's a salty. Yeah. Right. Because you have to do that. You have to take the, you got to take the pork belly. And then it takes a whole week. And you make this curing mix with curing salt and brown sugar and all this other stuff. And you rub it all over the belly. And then it sits for a week. Then you got to rinse it. And then after that, you cook it in the oven for about 2 hours. So it cures it, and then you slice it, and then you still have to cook the bacon.
Good Lord, that's a lot of work.
It is. But it tastes so fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. So what else do you guys have going on there? So you just did the pig. You cured it. I saw you had a garden up, right?
Yep, we got a garden going. Tomatoes, bell peppers. We got going in there, and then once we get the hydroponics up, we'll have lettuce and cucumbers and other things going. So we still have to get the hydroponics going.
The hydroponic is the tower of plants, right? I think Doreen had one before. Yes. Whenever you say it, I can't help but think of weed, but that's not weed.
No, that's not weed.
Yeah.
No, so hydroponics is just basically growing anything without soil. And there's like all kinds of different types of hydroponics. You can use aquaponics, which is where you put fish in the pond and the fish poop fertilizes the water, and that's how the plants get the nutrients. Or hydroponics, you actually just put the nutrients in, you buy them and put it in. And they can be set up like a tower. They can be set up like PVC pipe going straight across and then down. And it's just however the water is refiltrating itself.
Oh, okay. All right. Which way are you guys going to
set it? I have no idea. We're getting this one from a friend, and I'll see what it looks like, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So we don't have much of anything really going on. We finished that workbench, but Nate and Ethan did. Besides that, I mean,
it looks really good. He did a good job.
Oh, yeah. He did an awesome job. Great job. It was very, very good. I was impressed, actually. It's not wobbly at all.
So does Ethan want to build more things? Because I got a chicken coop and a hog pen that needs to be
built. That was mostly Nate. Ethan did the cuts, I think. Uh-huh. But I think Ethan was Nate's assistant to it.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, they did a good job. And, you know, Ethan's got a little bit of a background because he went and spent a summer with my dad. Mm-hmm. And then my dad showed him how to build, like, garden boxes and tool benches and all these other things. But, yeah, mostly Nate did that. Nate has a hard time allowing Ethan to do it on his own. So Ethan ends up being the assistant. Ethan doesn't like that, but he also doesn't realize, like, that's his place.
Right.
Like, I was my dad's assistant. I wasn't telling my dad what to do. I was carrying the screwdrivers, going to get them, grabbing this, grabbing that. That's your job as a kid.
Exactly. And you're to be quiet and learn what your dad is doing.
Yeah, and you don't realize just by watching it that you are absorbing it. And now, see, my dad was a different teacher, and Nate and I were talking about this the other day, is that for Nate, too, he's kind of learning on his own, right, for the first time. Where by the time that my dad was teaching my son, my dad had done it so many times that he could easily sit back and just verbally teach somebody. And he was really good at that. Mm-hmm. But Nate's still trying to be hands-on and learn himself.
Right.
and teach Ethan at the same time. So then, you know, Nate has this desire to build it on his own.
Right, because he's learning himself.
Right, yeah. So it's a little different, you know, compared to when my dad was teaching me and my dad was teaching Ethan compared to Nate. He's just doing these things for the first time.
Right, and that's kind of like Dion. So
yeah,
Dion's learning all of this first time. We're, you know, and Dion's probably very much like Nate. Nate had to, like, do a whole bunch of research and figure it out. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know that look.
Like, it's constant. Like, it takes 3 weeks of research before he can put a nail to a piece of wood.
It drives all of us a little insane.
I understand. I sympathize with your family. Trust me.
Yeah.
I do. Like, and we're on a farm. So imagine every project.
Right. Well, every real scenario you're in, right? Because almost every day is a new thing sometimes of being on a farm, whether it's with the animals or the plants or this or that, and your house is older or, you know,
yes,
just all kinds of fucking things.
Yeah.
And then he has to go to Google. Google's the worst fucking thing ever sometimes.
It is. It gives you too many options. Oh,
I agree.
We do have a new thing we're doing today. Our worm tea is finished. So
what the fuck is worm
okay.
tea?
Okay, it's going to be farm day today. So we created a worm bed, which is like a garden box, but with a lid on it. And we put, you put a little bit of dirt in there, and then you put, you know, leftover celery and coffee grounds and cardboard, and you put it in there and you throw some worms. And there, and you keep it water. And what the worms do is they eat the food, and as the worms poop, that's called worm casting, and that's actually a fucking amazing fertilizer.
Right.
So what you do is you take the fertilizer, the worm castings, and we take a 35 gallon thing of water. You fill it up. You put the worm castings in with aeration and some molasses. And what that does is it helps the microbes, which are these tiny, tiny little organisms that are actually alive. And kind of like when you make yeast. And then you, once it's ready in like 2 or 3 days, you use it as a fertilizer for your plants and for the grass. And it helps make everything grow. So we have 35 gallons and we're going to spray some of the vegetables and stuff. And then I'm going to put it in my little mower, that thing that spreads out and sprays, and go out in the pasture and water the pasture with worm tea today.
Okay. So it's very similar to a compost tea.
Yes. Yes.
Except then you're mixing it into a liquid rather than into soil.
Correct. Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. I learned yesterday on Naked and Afraid XL season 3, because this is what I'm watching now.
Oh, please tell everybody how you watched that show.
Naked, man. I watched it naked. I laid in bed fucking naked all day the other day. Just did not feel like getting out of bed. They found like a 10-inch fucking worm.
Oh.
It looked like a baby snake.
I bet it did. Where were they?
The Amazon.
Okay.
So, you know, it's so wet and there's a lot of soil and stuff there. So they find this giant fucking worm and they coil it around a stick and they're going to cook it. They're going to grill it and not eat it like a grub because it's so big. When they chopped it up and went to eat it, you know what the worm was filled with?
Eggs.
No, you imagine it to be gooey, right? Like a grub. All of that within the worm, dirt.
Really?
It was skin.
And dirt.
And dirt.
So they cooked
dirt. There's hardly any. Yeah, they cooked. They were like, this isn't even fucking edible.
So
it's skin. And what makes it hard like that was all this fucking dirt.
So what you're saying is a worm is really just like a dirt sausage.
It is.
That's weird. Isn't that crazy? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and the girl was like, you know, I never thought of it because she said she eats small worms when she's surviving. But it's in such a small amount, you never realize that everything you've been ingesting was just literally dirt. It's slimy dirt.
Oh.
Isn't that gross?
That is gross. I could never imagine eating a worm.
I don't. So this is the thing. Would you rather live in Africa on Naked and Afraid? So it was dry, hot, giant predators, right? Uh-huh. Worst predators ever. Or would you want to go live in the fucking rainforest where there's a ton of fucking bugs, mosquitoes, you might not see the sun ever, you're constantly underwater because it's raining always, the ground is always muddy, wet, and you're eating things like spiders, bugs, worms?
I don't know. That's like,
I would rather live in Africa.
I think so, because, like, you know, the, like you said, the predators are bigger, so you see them coming. And the sun, you can use mud for as a sunscreen to help cool you off. But the heat is just crazy, too.
Right. And well, so that's the thing about Africa, though. Like, the heat is really crazy, but then at night, the coolness was really, really cold.
Right.
Where in the fucking Amazon, it was just wet
and
all
muggy,
the time.
I'm sure. Very muggy.
Yeah, and the things that are going to kill you there are going to kill you. Yeah, slowly over time, too, right? Like, you're going to get malaria from the fucking bug bites. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You're going to get some deadly infections because your feet are always wet or cut up.
Yeah, I think I'll take I'll take Africa.
I'd rather a tiger jump in and fucking kill me. Yeah, exactly. Me too. That's what, at first, we watched the first season in Africa and the boys were like, no way, I'd rather be in the rainforest. I'd rather do this. This season is in the rainforest and we're on episode one and we're like, this shit looks fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that? Do you think you'd ever be a contestant on Naked and Afraid? Yeah,
no,
never?
No, never. Why?
You know there's zero money. There's no prize.
Do what?
There's not a prize for it. These people do it out of the sheer excitement of being a survivalist.
Then why aren't they just out there on their own? Why do they have to be on TV? Are you saying they're still vain people?
Well, of course. But would you do it without, like,
I wouldn't do it with money. Fuck that.
It's crazy. No. So Nate said the opposite. When I asked Nate if he would do it, he was like, fuck no. And I was like, what about for $100,000? Yeah, I'd do it.
See?
I was like, Nate, you barely let it out of my mouth. He would do it for money, he said.
He would? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it for money.
But the bugs would drive me insane. That's the thing. I couldn't do it with the bugs. I could do it in Africa, super, super hot, getting by. I could starve for a little while. That would be okay. I could eat the random shit that they eat in Africa, like a boiled fish soup.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? But I'm not eating a fucking worm or...
A spider.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, I ate a spider in Thailand.
Okay, but yeah, it was probably nice and crispy with a lot of sauce.
And I was super drunk, and now that I'm sober, I've changed my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Did it look like a spider?
Yeah, it was a tarantula.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
So, hey, what I was thinking about and talked a little bit with a friend today about was that, you know, the president just extended this all through April 30th. Today is only April 1st. I've been trying to live this mindset of day by day, but really now that I've got my Easter trip is basically canceled as much as we're trying to fight that. Bitches weekend with my sisters-in-laws looks like it's probably going to end up being canceled, which means every single weekend I had something planned is no longer there.
Right.
I don't want to wake up on May 15th and go back to work and realize I had this whole 45 days at home and didn't do anything because I was only living day by day.
Right.
So now I want to go back into my calendar, look at these empty weekend spots, because that's where I struggled last weekend, was on the weekend. There's no purpose to a weekend. There's no work that I need to do. There's nothing that I want to fill it with something fun and safe
right
within our spot. What that is now, I don't know.
Oh, I know what you can do. You should have like a virtual happy hour, like get on Zoom and everybody get together on the Zoom and have their choice of drink a beverage or whatever and hang out with your friends, but it's on a conference call.
That's cool. We're actually doing that tonight with a couple friends. I'm doing this like, it wasn't my idea. Somebody invited me to like dinner with girlfriends over Skype. Okay. So like, I think we should all do that too. And everybody get dressed. Like if you notice, I got dressed today because
spaghetti strap doesn't count as you being getting dressed.
I'm fully dressed. I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm fully dressed. I have earrings on and everything. I have my makeup done. I just did not want to be in my pajamas again today. Or workout clothes, right? Like,
right.
There's got to be some type of purpose or something. Even this makes me feel a little bit better.
So this, but I can't get dressed up like you do because my work requires me to be outside. So.
Yeah, not me. Not me. I'm not doing that. So, I do need to still weed the front beds, but I'm trying to bribe my kids into doing it.
Yeah, couldn't that be like, I don't know, some class?
Agriculture.
There you go. That's right. The word I was looking for.
Well, let's talk about the most, I think that's as much Corona talk as we can talk about and how exciting our lives are. Let's jump into the other most talked about thing in the world right now, and that is the Tiger King.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I didn't want to watch the Tiger King initially. I had heard it was good, but then I was like, no, this looks too crazy. But right. I decided, let's watch the Tiger King. And Dion got into it. He's like, what the hell are we watching? And then he's like, but I can't look away.
Right.
So, oh my gosh, it's just, it's crazy. This flamboyant, redneck, gay guy, Joe, makes himself this star, Joe Exotic.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a stripper name.
Right. And he kind of looks like a male trashy stripper.
A terrible stripper, yeah.
Horrible stripper.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be famous.
Absolutely.
And he loves tigers. Mm-hmm. And that's all this man ever wanted was to love his tigers, take care of his tigers, and fucking be famous. That was it. And then somehow or another, this woman, Carol. She like had it out for him. And like, I don't understand why. The man didn't do shit to her.
Yeah, she was, so that's the thing. I heard another podcast talking about Carol and her intent. And unlike Joe, so I love the way that you just described him, because Joe's intent in the beginning was that he loved these tigers and he did want to become famous, right?
Right.
The breeding of the tigers only came from a need of money, but not from his need of money. He didn't start that business to breed tigers. He started it because of the love he had for them and his desire to be famous. Fucking Carol now.
Uh-huh.
Carol started her business by breeding tigers.
Right.
And then changed over to a rescue.
Correct.
In quotation marks. And then ended up being a millionaire.
Oh, lots of. Well, that and her husband had a lot of money.
Right. And
so the first husband.
Yeah. And
that
who
disappeared.
That she murdered.
Yeah, pretty much. She fed that son of a bitch to the tiger. But I read an article that Hillsborough County has reopened that missing person case because of this documentary.
For sure, as they should. I'm not surprised that that happened. So that will be interesting. And I'm surprised that we haven't heard from her. And we almost should have started this podcast off with, hello, cool cats and kittens. Like that bitch was saying. But
I know, right? That's why I don't trust her. That bitch is not real.
She's super fake.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. That's some fake, phony ass shit. See, Joe Exotic may have been out of his mind, but that motherfucker was real.
He was. He was an honest person, right? So this is what I think. Well, first of all, that kind of freaked me out was the time period. Because when you look at these people, you assume, okay, well, this had to be 20 years ago.
In the 90s, wasn't it?
No, it was even more recent than that. It was in the 2000s, which frightens me that... That frightens me. It excites me that in this United States of America that there are people like that. That, well, first of all, I didn't know that, there were that many big cats in the U.S.
Neither did I.
More than what Africa currently has, which is terrible.
Yes, we need to take those cats and put them back out in the wild.
Well, they never came from the wild, though, right? So now what do you do with these cats? Right. Most of them, you know, by the time they've been bred and bred and bred... These are domesticated cats, which are terrible. That I didn't. To me, where you can get a ticket for fucking barking, it's insane to me that people have fucking tigers.
Right, like they could legitimately go out and buy a tiger. Like, and there was nothing illegal about owning an exotic cat in your house.
And to own a zoo, so they would call them personal zoos. Do you not need any fucking qualifications for that?
Apparently not.
That to me was...
You would have.
Right. That to me was the part where I was like, wait, this is modern America. Do you not need any type of qualifications?
You need a fucking permit to collect rainwater.
I need a permit to go fucking fishing.
Yeah. And you don't need a permit to get a fucking big ass cat.
Right. That's the part I'm saying is like, that part kind of tripped me out. The part that these people even exist, these characters like Joe Exotic or Dog, okay. Whatever.
Let's be honest, they're cults.
So, well, that's the thing. Okay. The other guy was Doc Antle.
Yes, I think that was what his name was.
So, do you think Joe Exotic was running a cult, and do you think Doc was running a cult?
I don't think Joe Exotic was running a cult. I think what Joe Exotic was doing was he had created this personal zoo, and what he was doing was he was finding people who had fallen on really hard times, bringing them, trying to help them get back up and running. But he, like, again, he's a real redneck guy. So mm-hmm. It's nothing pretty. There's nothing fancy. As we can tell from their clothes and missing teeth.
Right.
But his intentions were good to help the animals and help these people. This Doc guy was only in it for the cats, the pussy, and the money.
Right.
He was fucking weird. He came on and I'm like, Dion, that guy, I don't like him. He's a fucking pervert.
Yeah, so he is basically running a cult over there. And you know... It's so funny that, like, that one lady's parent just dropped her off there.
Yeah, just like, okay.
Yeah, her dad dropped her off to go live there to make, what, it was like $100 a week, $100 a month?
Yeah. Something
insanely under what minimum wage would be. And then he paid for her boob job?
Right, but did you see those fucking houses those women were living in?
Yes!
I mean, those were fucking ginormous houses. Like, what the hell? And then, you know, he paid for the boob jobs because they sold the fucking the baby cubs.
Right.
Who doesn't want to pet a fucking baby cub with a hot-ass woman and her titties hanging out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, animals and sex. It all sells.
Right. And he was doing a pretty good job. And it makes me wonder, though, so about the women that wanted to be there, right? Like the women and all those employees. Is there something about people with big cats? Is there this obsession with them? Is there this adrenaline in holding them? Because you know that they could fuck you up, right?
Right.
Or, you know, and then on the other side of it, the people that are handling them all day, is this ego about them where they, I can tame this beast?
Right. Like their malehood, I can tame it.
Right. Or they're just their dominance over the animal. Like when you think about the people that they were obsessed with these cats, even Carol Wackadoo is obsessed with the pattern and the print and the animal. What right. is it that's driving this hunger in them?
Which I thought that's a great point, which I thought was absolutely crazy. Carol is all like, I'm here, I'm the crazy cat lady, and I'm trying to save them, and da-da-da-da. Yet she buys all these cat prints and clothes and shit, which comes from the cats that had to be killed and skinned and use their fur for what you're fucking wearing. You're a hypocrite.
And even if it's synthetic, you're still promoting the wearing of these animals' flesh.
Yeah, exactly. So she's a hypocrite.
She's a crazy, crazy little bitch, Carol is.
Oh my God.
So who would you find to be the worst person in there? So there was Joe, there was Jeff, the business partner that they brought in, the one that was like the Las Vegas guy. There's Carol, there's Doc. Who is the worst of the worst?
The worst of the worst is Carol.
100%. I think so too.
Carol's the worst of the worst. Look, Joe Exotic, you know what you're getting yourself into. Jeff is just a fucking con man. Doc Antle is a cult leader.
Right.
So, you know, and you kind of know what you're getting yourself into when you go with Doc. I mean,
yeah, listen, those bitches got to be dumb.
No, they're not dumb. No. Those bitches are not dumb. Those bitches are going, I get to play with kitties. I get taken care of. I have no bills. He's paying for the boob job she probably wanted initially. And you know what I mean? So she's been taking care.
But the employee even said, like, it was miserable living conditions and it was a miserable workload. So you, to go into a cult like that, just like anybody who would join Scientology all of a sudden, the information's out there. You know how little you're going to be paid. You know how shitty it's going to be. And you choose to keep being there.
Right.
Because you're not truly being taken care of. You're sleeping in a fucking wooden bunk bed with seven other people, not in the big boy mansion.
Right, because you got to work your way up there.
Yeah, there's this desperation about them or something that they're seeking, in my opinion.
So, like, the woman who left it and was complaining about it, my question is, why didn't she just go to a regular zoo?
I know.
And volunteer. That's the other thing. So, like, you're going to complain about this and everything, but you could have left at any point.
Yeah, you weren't prisoners.
Huh?
They weren't prisoners. They weren't stuck. Unlike at Joe's place, Joe hired felons, right? So the felons, sometimes that's the only job you can have.
Correct.
These girls were suburban white bitches that were like, yeah, I'll be his slave.
Yeah, I get to play with cat. I get to play with baby tigers.
And
I get
a big ass house.
I have to sleep with this guy once or twice.
Gross.
I don't like it either. I think it's gross. But there's people out there who do it, who enjoy it.
It's insane. I think it says more about the women than it does Doc Antle. Like, Doc Antle, yeah, man, do you. If these girls are going to do it, then fine. You're literally not holding them prisoner.
No, but in any cult, no one's technically held prisoner.
Well, in some of them, they are, though. Scientology, there's a whole thing where they put them to these stupid fucking camps. And there was one in Ohio, too, where they send them to the separate camp if they feel like they're going to deviate from the plan. These bitches stayed because they like to pet kittens.
Yeah.
And get paid.
And get paid in some form.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's more of the mental side of these women than it is Doc, in my opinion. It's just weird.
But these women stayed for 20, 30 years.
It's weird.
I mean, that's just something that they must have apparently really fucking wanted to do.
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange. I would agree with you where I think Carol is the worst of the worst.
Oh, she is.
Now, do you think, you said Jeff was a con man. Do you think Jeff and that fat guy and the felon right-hand man of Jeff set Joe up? Do you think he really hired a hit on Carol, or they made all that up?
I think they took Joe's extreme hate for Carol and got him to say, the right, wrong thing at the right time and, you know, the money and all of that sort of stuff. They threw him under the bus because, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, he gave me $3,000. But they didn't prove that transaction.
Right.
And my thing that I think is actually fucking crazy is that he got convicted of it. And when the, they had even said, when the attempted murder for hire charge was weak and was falling apart, they added in all these breeding charges. And it really goes and makes you think that they're setting him up. He was set up. Doc Antle didn't get a single charge for breeding his tigers.
Right.
So, and Carol has all this money, and she hates Joe. So she could have easily manipulated the legal system to get him caught.
Right. Yeah. I think Jeff and the fat guy screwed over Joe. I think completely made the story. I think they were both about to catch a charge and said, well, how about we give you Joe Exotic?
Exactly. And they took it. And
yeah, they had the perfect guy, the perfect felon to collaborate their story. And then when the fat dude got X'd out of the new deal, he's trying to do the same thing to old Jeff boy.
Correct. And notice that whole new zoo fucking fell apart.
So I was wondering if it's been completely built, because I think when it left us, they were still in the middle of working out there, moving a bunch of dirt. But it did say whether or not the park was still going to be built.
I don't know, because remember, he brought in that other guy to help build it. Mm-hmm. And the guy realized he's not putting any money in. It's only him. And Jeff was being a fucking dick, so he packed his shit up and left.
Right, yeah, yeah. So I wonder if that zoo, because that's going to be over in the panhandle, if that will actually exist. Who do you think the most genuine or good guy of the documentary was?
That would be Joe Exotic's first husband. The little round face and his missing teeth.
He was from the very first time they interviewed him, of course I was thinking, like, I love you. I love that you're sitting there with your shirt off. That before they said action, he was like, wait. Let me take my shirt off, bro.
He reminded me of that adorable retarded dog you just have to love.
He reminds me of a true panhandle
person.
Redhead.
There you go.
Yeah. Perfect meth head. Like when he said he had a drug problem, I'm sure everybody was like, oh, really? Oh. No. Couldn't tell. Where's your fucking teeth?
And not only where's your teeth, but like his expressions and the way he talked. I mean, you could just tell the light bulb wasn't on.
Right. What did you think of the one boyfriend?
Which one was that?
Killing himself, Travis.
Oh. Oh my God. Yeah, that was crazy. I totally forgot about that part.
Yeah, that was insane. So I was a little weirded out where, all right, Doc Antle is running a cult, but Joe Exotic is
grabbing up husbands.
Young 18-year-old boys with drug problems and feeding them meth and dick.
Yep.
Which most people know that a meth head will do anything, which includes be temporarily gay.
And Travis was being temporarily gay because they even said it.
And so was the toothless shirtless wonder. He's now with a girl, with a child. Yep. And, you know, they all said that there was a lot of drugs involved. So there's that the other part of Joe where I'm like, all right, well, that kind of makes him pedophile-ish, right? I mean, there's not
there's
kids, but when Travis first showed up, he was a kid.
And then his next husband was a child.
Young.
Yeah, because they were even saying Joe had this charisma about him and you could He could make you fall in love with him. Because initially, you did like Joe. And then as the documentary went on, you're going, wait, what? No, that doesn't make sense. How can this guy, who I liked in the first episode, now by the second and third, I'm going, ooh.
You know why? Desperation. Desperation makes good people do bad things. And Joe, from episode to episode, became a more desperate man.
More desperate for the attention, more desperate for love, more desperate
money,
and to get Carol everything. Back. She was fucking ruining his business.
Yeah, that his hatred for Carol really almost...
It destroyed him.
It did, yeah.
Had he not done all that fucking shit on social media with shooting the picture of Carol and calling her a fucking bitch and I hate you and I hope that, you know, I hope you die. You know, had he not done all that shit, he might still be around running and taking care of his tigers.
Exactly. And he could... There's a whole lot of other tiger people that he wouldn't have been her main focus.
Right.
And that's what he did. He made himself her focus because his focus was
right.
her.
And because he was the loudest. Notice Doc was like, at some point, he's like, I'm not talking to you about certain things because you're going to fucking twist my words and use it against me.
Right.
He's like, no. So Doc was smart enough to stay quiet. That's like the Chinese proverb that the tallest nail gets the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sticking out, you're going to get hammered because you're going to be the one that's seen.
Yeah, that's not good. I stick out.
That's okay. But we still love you.
I'm going to get hammered. let's see. What was my next question? What about for best person? The lady who got her fucking arm bit off.
Oh, the lesbian. Yeah.
Yeah, who then went back to work 5 days later.
Right, that was fucking badass.
Yeah, because she said that if she didn't go back to work, the media would make it about the tiger and just wanted to shut the story down and go to work.
Because she truly cared about the tigers.
She did, yeah. She truly cared about the tigers. And somebody else who I thought was good was the legless guy. He truly cared about Joe.
Right. He did. And the tigers. And you could tell in the beginning, they were like, this was such a great place to work. You know, we're all misfits and we come together and for this purpose. But as Joe loses his focus, everybody is going, oh my God, shit's falling apart. And then that's when everybody starts to leave and goes, we can't do this anymore.
Right, yeah, it put them all in a bad spot. And I think they all, I think you can trust the word of the legless guy and the arm girl because they haven't received any wealth from it. They were just his friends. So even the boyfriend, who still had nice things to say about him, right? And the boyfriend at that point was remarried with a kid, could say anything he wanted.
Yep, and he still...
And could talk bad about Joe and all of that, and he didn't. And also said, I don't believe he could have killed her.
Or
so
paid to have.
I don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that he was totally set up by Jeff and the fat guy.
I think so, too. Because as crazy as he is, he doesn't strike me the personality of someone that could collaborate with someone to actually hire someone for murder. Like that concept and the intelligence required to do that is not possessed in his brain.
Right. Now, if I was playing devil advocate, Kit, do you think that he is the guy that when Jeff first came up, like he was talking about how cool Jeff was, right? Like he's this guy on, you know, in black leather and he's got a motorcycle. He's got this, he's got that. He's got stacks of money that he thought Jeff was such a badass. That while sitting around drinking one night with him, he was like, yeah, man, I'd give you $4,000 if you kill that bitch, Carol. And then Jeff was probably like, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, yeah. Because Jeff's a con man, right? He's playing this act that he's some big motorcycle Harley guy.
Right.
That Joe could have said it trying to play the part of, well, I'm a badass too.
Yeah, because while Joe would never admit it, Jeff was a threat to Joe because mm-hmm. he came in and portrayed that he was this leader and he really started taking over Joe's zoo. But Joe needed him for the money, so he rolled over on his back to get his belly rubbed, and he would have done anything to get the money he needed to beat Carol.
Right, yeah, for sure. That whole thing with Carol just fucked him up, 100%. Well, so if people want to watch it, they should go and watch it. It's The Tiger King on Netflix. I did find out, I hate to disappoint everybody, that Joe actually did not sing any of the music.
What? He didn't sing any of that music? That wasn't him?
Really? No, there were two. I found an article earlier that said that there were two other singers responsible for the music videos that he was lip singing to, and that they did it because they thought the reality show was going to become famous, and then they would become famous.
Oh. I bet they wish they had never sung those songs now.
I know. Those fucking videos, that was probably my favorite. The videos and then the no shirt couple photos of all three husbands together.
I don't remember that part.
Oh my God. They showed so many pictures. You didn't see the professional pictures that Joe, Travis, and then the no teeth guy were all having?
No, I don't remember that part. I remember the wedding. Oh, my God.
They're the most gay things I've ever seen. It's hilarious. With them all laying there with no shirts on and posing, and it kind of looks like glamour shots, but for gay countrymen.
For gay countrymen.
It was hilarious. Those are my favorites.
Okay, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was intense. I was like, okay. Cool. All right, good for you. Whatever floats your boat, guys.
I know. And then who did they give those to? So you get your pictures taken like that, and then do you call your mom and be like, hey, Mom, I'm sending you a photo. How many do you want? Who has those on their walls or on their desk?
You know, considering how many people were around and participated in that, I'm sure he sent those photos to some people, and they actually have them up on their walls.
For sure. For sure. So, all right. Well, let's jump over. You sent me an article from Amazon Prime firing its employee in Staten Island. How do you say that word?
Staten.
I can't say it. You say it.
Staten Island.
There you go. So it was from CNN Business. Amazon fires warehouse worker who leads the Staten Island warehouse walkout. Do you agree or disagree with them? Do you think he should have been fired?
Fuck yeah, he should have been fired.
Right.
So basically what happened was this guy, Mr. Smalls, had said to the warehouse senior management that, hey, you guys need to close the building, sterilize it. Apparently, they wouldn't do it for him because there had been some cases of the coronavirus in there. So he got put on 14-day leave with pay and was told by Amazon to stay home because he had been in close contact with someone who had tested positive for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Man was sent home with pay. And instead, on March 30th, he decided to walk onto the property and contaminate people.
Right.
And then he got fired, I guess, the next day or whatever. And they did have to shut down the facility and sterilize it because he put team members in danger.
Right.
So, no, he should have been fired. I'm like... And then he's claiming that Amazon doesn't care about its employees, which I call bullshit because they sent you home 14 days with pay.
With pay, right.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like they were leaving you on your ass. So what do you think?
Well, I agree with you, right? Because I think that there are employees that don't realize that their jobs are essential that still need to work. And unfortunately, with the fact that we have some counties and states locked in their homes right now and ordered not to leave. Mm-hmm. Amazon is an essential company that we still need up and running.
We do. Because otherwise, we're really going to be in some trouble.
Right. And we appreciate that you are sacrificing yourself and going to work every day. However, that is the career you picked as well, right? So you didn't know that you were a hero, but you are.
Yay. Most heroes don't know they're a hero until they have to right. be a hero.
You know, so I think it's been interesting to me to watch people who didn't realize that their jobs are essential, that are still working, uh-huh. where, and most of the people that I know that are still working that have to go to an office are happy to do so. They like their job, they appreciate their job, and they want to see their company succeed and keep pushing. And as long as their company is adapting, just the way Amazon did, right? There was somebody sick, they sent all these people home. Our local Publix had somebody sick, they sent everybody home who had been in contact with this person between a certain period of time. They sent them home for quarantine on pay, with pay.
Yeah.
Shut the store down, cleaned everything, and then opened back up for business. Because you, working for that grocery store, are essential to feeding the people of this community.
Yes.
We need you.
Absolutely. We do. We need food.
Right. And I, for this guy then to go back to Amazon and risk getting everybody else sick, dude, you're an asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you deserve to be fired. And you can pick another job. Pick right. another job.
If someone will hire you.
Right. Yeah, good luck with that.
Right, because I wouldn't want to hire the guy who endangered employees.
Yeah, intentionally.
Right. That's just some bullshit.
No, I agree. So I saw that some Amazon Prime employees were boycotting, and I think even our local Amazon warehouse has two employees that were sick. So same thing. They've had to segregate them out. They've had to clean and sterilize. But we need Amazon Prime to keep delivering to our homes, to keep us from going out.
Right.
And interacting with all these other people.
So can you get toilet paper on Amazon Prime?
You could. Uh-huh. Right now it says you can't. I also tried to look up Lysol wipes the other day.
Uh-huh.
And it says that these items are being saved for the government and hospitals in the U.S. So that was kind of interesting to see. What you can get delivered is an entire case of Monsters.
Oh, lovely. And the beer that your husband got from Instacart.
He did that through Instacart again. Wasn't that funny? I was in a conference call and there's a knock on the door and it's four cases of beer.
Hey, I like that. So mm-hmm. I do have an alternative for the Lysol wipes.
What's that?
So if you get a glass container and you put like, I don't know, like a, or a bowl or a glass container with a lid on it,
mm-hmm.
you would put 5 cups of hot water in there and then you can put a capful or 2 capfuls of bleach in the water and then put your rag in the water, close it up. And then when you go to wipe down your counters, use that and it's like a Lysol wipe.
Oh, nice. I think I saw somebody post that on Facebook. Maybe my niece Dina posted it.
Okay.
I'll go and check it out. And I think she posted the recipe on there.
Yeah, because that is something that you can use instead of the Lysol wipes, because if you can't get them. And another thing, you could probably do the same thing, like use the actual Lysol container. The wipe uh-huh. container, when all the wipes are gone, you could use that, putting the water and the bleach in there and the rag, and then that way, if you don't have a glass container.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Sweet. Well, so then what else could you use from Amazon?
I haven't done Amazon in quite a while.
I just had a pool delivered.
You had a pool delivered?
Yeah, girl. We need a pool out back.
Oh.
Let me see. I actually was going to encourage people to share their Amazon Prime. This is mine right now. I got a pool delivered today, a shower head or a shower nozzle, a cursive handwriting workbook, a new bikini thong, a case of Monsters, Goo Gone, epoxy markers, and energy. Oh, and doggy diapers.
And doggy diapers.
Yeah, because one of our dogs keep pissing.
That would be Harley.
Yeah, so we get an Amazon Prime box every day.
There you go. We've not done Amazon Prime. We haven't done any shopping. Everything's out here is pretty much homemade. Or, you know, the food that we need to get from the store or whatever. But outside of that, nothing.
I think this week we're all set. Between, like, grocery shopping and the amount of activities, I think we're set. Nate and I have said that we are not leaving our house for 2 weeks.
Right.
So this we started that on Monday. So we'll see how that goes.
I haven't left my house in, I think, 2 weeks now. Because Pam goes to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't leave my house.
Well, here, I'm going to ask you some other questions to see what you've been up to then. So Facebook, like we said, it's a wash, rinse, repeat cycle. Everybody's been posting like these 50 questions with your spouse, 50 fun questions about me, copy, paste, share it. So I just copied somebody's, and rather than sharing it on Facebook, thought I'd ask you and I the questions.
Oh, fun. So instead of pulling a question out of the box, you're just getting it off of Facebook.
Yeah.
With no proper warning.
Nope, not at all. So here we go.
Fucking A.
Tabby, the world wants to know, what color is your hairbrush?
Black.
Black. All right, mine's gold. All right. Tabby, the world wants to know, name a food you've never eaten.
A food I have never eaten. Oh, but I do have to tell a story. So I'm going to say the food that I've never eaten was a cow heart.
Ugh.
Until last night.
What the fuck is going on at the farm?
So, you know we butchered cows before, right?
Yes.
And we had this leftover meat. It was a few steaks and one, like, sirloin and whatever. And then we had the cow heart. And so, we needed hamburger meat. So, we defrosted all the meat. We cut it all up and we ground it up and we made hamburgers. It was damn good.
Gross.
No, it was delicious. It wasn't just, I mean, there was, like I said, there was a roast in there and there was a sirloin. So it was steak and a roast and the heart and it was all mixed in and it was good. You couldn't even tell. Mason ate it and liked it. Lennox ate it and liked it. So did Pam.
Now, would you pan fry the heart and eat it?
I don't know about that, but apparently the way the meat felt when I was grinding it, believe it or not, is very tender.
Yeah, my son ate a deer heart a couple months back before Christmas or during Christmas break, I think, but made it like a pan fried whiskey deer heart. But it looked like it did not look great.
Did it taste good?
I didn't fucking eat it, so let's just put that in something that I've never eaten before.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he said it wasn't bad.
Okay.
But I didn't eat it.
All right.
So that's one food that I've never eaten, and you hadn't until last night. That's right.
Exactly.
Are you typically too warm or too cold?
Too cold.
Yeah, me too. I'm cold.
Always cold.
What is your favorite candy bar?
Snickers.
Kit Kat for me.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a professional sports event?
Yes.
Which one's your favorite?
My favorite professional sport?
Yeah. To be there personally.
Hockey.
Yeah. Me too. An NHL game is so much fun.
It is. I'd rather go watch hockey than go watch baseball. But I would definitely go watch baseball if it's at the Yankee Stadium.
Oh, really?
I love the Yankees.
I've never been there before.
I shocked the hell out of Dion probably 6 months ago. His boss came over and was staying there at night because I had some appointments and all that fun stuff. So me and his boss are sitting on the couch and we're watching baseball. And I'm talking baseball to his boss. And Dion looks over and goes, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I played softball. I know what it is. I know. I used to watch baseball all the time. He's like, I've never seen you watch baseball. Like, well, because you don't like baseball, and I don't really like to watch baseball.
Yeah, like, you're not really going to watch it on your own, but you do know about it.
Correct.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of ice cream?
The chocolate.
So just straight up chocolate?
I do enjoy my chocolate.
Okay, I like cookies and cream. I like the cookie dough.
Oh, yeah. I like
the
little
balls on the inside, yeah.
You like the little balls?
I do like the little balls. What was the last thing you had to drink?
Water.
Yeah, Monster, of course.
Of course. Sweaty pitties.
I know. Do you like your wallet? That's weird.
Sure. It's there. I don't care. It's actually right here.
I don't carry mine around with me.
It's right here. I've had this wallet, I'm going to say, for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Yeah. I don't. Normally, I just try to carry as little as possible with me. So I put like my ID and stuff in my little coach clutch. Uh-huh. And if that will fit into a purse, then I'll use that. If not, then I just have that thing on a string. I've kind of given up on my wallet.
I gotcha.
Just given up on it. Let's see. What's the last thing you ate?
A bagel.
Me too.
Really? Oh, what kind of bagel?
I had an everything bagel with onion and chive cream cheese on it.
Ooh. I had a cinnamon raisin bagel with butter.
Ooh, yum. That's why our local grocery store was out of eggs, and normally I eat 2 eggs with a tablespoon of salsa every single day. This week, I'm carving it up.
Nice. Well, do you need eggs? Because I got some farm fresh eggs I can send home with you.
Well, maybe I'll grab some from you because, yeah, I need eggs. Did you buy any new clothes this past week?
Nope.
I got my new shoes in yesterday. I know. So they said, is that a package at the door? And Lorelai goes to get it. Ooh, this is a big one. And I've already got my email that it's delivered, there. Right? So then Nate's like, well, let me look at it. Let's see who it's from. And he's, well, it's from Adidas. I didn't order anything from Adidas. It's not my name. It's in Mama's name. I guess Mama ordered something from Adidas. And I'm just sitting there on the couch trying not to smile. I got the new cutest leopard tennis shoes from Adidas. They were super cute.
Oh.
With the sale and the coupon code, they were like $35 delivered.
Nice.
From $130. How could I pass
that? That's good.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't.
Let's see. What's your favorite flavor of popcorn?
Kettle corn.
Ooh, I like kettle corn too. Or extra, extra buttery. What's the last sporting event you actually watched?
Like on TV or in person?
Either one, right? I mean, sports in the U.S. have been canceled now for 3 weeks.
I know. I haven't watched sports though. I'm trying to think. I don't know. When it was either the last time I watched it with his boss, probably that was probably the last time I watched baseball with this with Dion's boss. That was probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, right?
Or the last time I was with you guys and we went to that baseball game and the shrimp fucking chased me around.
Oh, God. That was a long time ago.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Long, long time ago. So it's probably with his boss.
Probably. Yeah.
The last event I went to was a Rangers game in New York. What was that?
So jealous.
The last of February, first of March. Do you take vitamins every day?
Not every day, but I take them occasionally.
Yeah, I take a woman's vitamin and a fiber gummy every day. Do you go to church every Sunday?
No.
Me neither.
I don't go to church.
Do you have a tan?
Yeah, yes.
I do.
My arms are tan, my legs are white. I got a farmer's tan.
Whole body is tan right now.
Yeah, I know. Whole thing. Your ass.
I know. Well, my ass is burned in different layers. It's like an onion from the different sizes of bottoms I've been wearing.
So is Nate peeling your ass off?
That's what he said yesterday he was going to. I'm looking forward to it. Do you prefer Chinese food over pizza?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Are you afraid to order Chinese food right now?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
That's funny. I heard other people talking about that. That they they turned the fucking China. His wife ordered it, and the food got there, and the guy was like, "Here's your money, but you could go ahead and take that back with you, sweetie."
Yeah, no, I'm not eating Chinese food, like, or any place that I initially had thought was skeptical before the coronavirus. So it doesn't, it's not like I'm isolating because Chinese.
You know, the health department isn't making any rounds right now. So any place that looked fucking dirty before is definitely dirty now.
Exactly. So those are the places I'm avoiding.
Right. Look to your left. What do you see?
A window.
A shelf.
Window to the walls.
Till sweat drop down my balls. Down the balls.
All these bitches crawl.
All right. Do you go... this is funny. Do you go in a fast food place or just hit the drive-thru? Everybody has...
Well, right now, I can only do a drive-thru.
What terrifies you?
Death? Going, no, not even death. Screw death. Going broke. Yeah.
That is scary. Yeah. I think death was a pretty good answer. Sometime in this last year, I've realized that we've got half of our life left. And so you go from growing older to then this next half older. Is
yeah.
You're dying.
There's no more
hope. Yeah, right? You're dying from this point. Right. And so that's a realization of, I don't want to spend the next 40 years doing the same hustle that I have this last 40 years. Like, I want to enjoy, expand, improve.
And enjoy the rest of the
thin
time.
Thin the fat.
Comfortably.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you ever drive above the speed limit?
Fuck yeah. All the time.
Me too. I always, because I drive so much, I have to put my cruise control on all the time. If not, I won't even notice how fast I'm fucking going.
Right. Like, every time you leave our house, you guys get a ticket.
Every fucking time. And do you realize that in Florida, we drive a whole lot faster than most states? Like, when I go back to Virginia Beach, the highest speed limit sometimes is 40 fucking 5.
Uh-huh. It's crazy, isn't it?
How can... Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't been ticketed there. Like, it's going to happen now.
Like, the highway up around Virginia, the highest is 65. And I'm like...
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm like, you guys have a four-lane highway and you can only go 65?
Right. To me, it's crazy. And what is it here? It's 70.
70.
Which means people can at least go 85.
Yeah.
90.
It's easy.
Comfortably.
Especially if you're down south.
Yeah, for real. What chores do you hate, or what chore do you hate the most?
Cleaning the bathroom.
The bathroom?
I hate the bathroom.
I think for me, it's the entire process of laundry.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it never fucking ends.
It doesn't. Nothing. Have you ever noticed cleaning never fucking ends?
Ever.
It's constant. You do it and you're like, oh, you feel great. And then 2 seconds later, someone comes in and fucks it up. And then you got to go back and clean it again. And it's like, it's a never ending job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a setup by men. They gave us a never ending job.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm trying to do less and less of it every day. When's the last time you were told no?
I don't remember because I probably argued myself out of that no.
I was told no today by a masseuse. I know this lady that does like in-home massages. So I want an in-home massage now. And she said she's not working until May. I'm like, bitch, don't you need money?
Really?
I guess not.
No, she prefers not to get sick. She doesn't know
you. I know.
Or your kids. Why would you want someone coming in your house like that?
No, I know her.
Yeah, and do you know she's clean?
No, I don't fucking know that, but see? I definitely wanted a masseuse to come. So I was told no.
Yeah, rightfully so.
What's your favorite number?
7.
114. Why 7?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just my fucking favorite number.
Your favorite number. 114 was my employee number at Kmart. And ever since then, it's been my favorite number. So when I was 18, 19. Uh-huh. So if you notice, like in my personal email, it's Sabrina114.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's from.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
That's my employee. So like when you call each other over the intercom, it'd be like, employee, I think Charlene was 13. Employee 13 to the service desk, please. Employee, or Jamie was employee number 5. Uh-huh. Employee number 5, please dial whatever. So then she could call me and blah, 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 blah.
So wait, you, your sister, and Jamie all worked at Kmart together?
Yes.
And now you three live in three different states?
Yes.
That's just crazy.
So it literally, one of the questions on here is, what is your favorite job? And both Jamie and I would say that working at Big Kmart on General Booth Boulevard was our favorite job. We all three worked there together.
Where was it? What state were you guys in?
In Virginia Beach.
Okay.
So I worked the service desk. Charlene was a cashier and then got promoted to sporting goods, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Jamie worked out on the floor and worked in electronics, I think, and cashier. It was just a ton of fun. We worked there with our friends.
Right.
You know, with my sister and my best friend. I had the easier job because I worked the service desk and I was a front end cashier manager. So I didn't have to do all the hard work that, like, you'd have to go and put shit away every night or on Thanksgiving weekends, right? They asked for volunteers for people that could work on Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Because the next day is what? Black Friday. So right. They need the store open. So they left it to two 18. No, I was the only one that was 18. An 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 16-year-old. We got there after Thanksgiving dinner. They opened the store for us, locked us in there.
Huh.
And left us there until the next morning.
Really? So you could put all that stuff away?
We put all this stuff away. And, like, they had already come out and put out the certain, like, at that time it was Furby. So they had already, like, spread those things around the store. And so our job was to take everything from the day before Thanksgiving and just put it all away, clean the store, have it all. So we went and put on the rollerblades from the sporting goods department. Back then, you know, we didn't have regular cell phones or anything like that. So we had a radio at the service desk that we played over the phone intercom.
Right.
That then we could play music throughout.
The whole store.
Throughout the whole store, we're, you know, just sitting there lounging. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
That sounds like a blast.
It was creepy as fuck, though, sometimes, because you, like, you're used to seeing people walk through the stores.
Right.
So you would, like, catch somebody walking, and then it was just your imagination. But it was just a lot of fun. I met a lot of cute guys that night. No, not that night. But there's Damn Neck and Oceana flank each side of General Booth Boulevard. So there were Navy men coming in there all the time. When I'm saying Navy men, I'm talking, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old boys.
Well, those were men to you at that time because you were that same age.
Yeah, I was 18 too. So where's my husband? I met so many guys working there. They were all so fucking cute too. Uh-huh. And like the ladies in the ladies department, all these old little black ladies would encourage me. Like one time they made me like go chase outside at this guy that like I followed and watched him throughout the store. Uh-huh. And like calling my friend like, hey, do you see some really tall, good looking blonde guy in the sporting goods department? And then when he checked out, like I ran outside and gave that. His name was John something. He drove an Infiniti. He was super weird. Super clean. It kind of ended up annoying me, but he was really good looking, so that was fun.
Oh, I remember that because I grew up right down the street from Quantico Marine Base, so I had all those young men right there, and I'm like, ooh, ooh.
It was so nice to look at.
They were. I almost married a Marine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, at 18.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you would have been up there with Jamie and I, because we both got married. Jamie got married. And she was 18, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I was 19 when I got married.
Yep. He was 2 years older than me, and we, you know, all in love and blah, 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 high school sweethearts. And he was going in the Marines. And at that point, he wanted me to go with him and follow along. But I was in the process of trying to get into the Air Force Academy. And I was like, well, why aren't you going with me? And he wanted me to give it up, and I wouldn't. And we just said, okay, it's not going to work.
Oh, yeah, and then just moved on. Do you still know that person?
No. So I know, like, he's a friend on Facebook, but no, we don't talk or anything like that. Yeah. You know, no, I haven't talked to him probably in 15 years.
Yeah. You remember we were talking about before when I said that I was friends with this guy who's a dirtbag, or who I would consider a dirtbag. But I didn't really care because he was always really good to me.
Right.
So I met up with that person a few weeks ago, right? And, and I was telling him that. I was telling him this conversation that you and I had had, that you were like, how could you be friends with somebody who's a dickhead? And I was like, well, he was never a dickhead to me. And he goes, I thought I was a nice person. And I was like, oh.
No, you're not.
No, definitely an asshole. I said, you had a girlfriend. You had two girlfriends and were still sleeping with me. Not a nice person.
Yeah. And why did he think he was a nice person?
I don't know. But either way, because I did, like,
that's a testimony to how much of a dick he is, that he thought he was a good guy with two girlfriends and someone on the side.
So this is actually, he did tell me his train of thought was that his thought. So you have to imagine, too, that this was 20 years ago for all of us, right? Like, well, 16, 20 years ago, that he had no intentions of ever staying in the places we were stationed together in. So Virginia Beach or Jacksonville.
Okay.
His intention was always to go home.
Okay.
And he always made that very clear to everybody. Like, I always knew that he was never marrying somebody and buying a house in Jacksonville, right? And so he said that he made that intent very clear to even those girlfriends at that time. His goal was to always to go home. That it was never a forever thing for him. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can get that.
Right.
And then he started saying all the bad things that I did. And then I was like, ooh, maybe I was the bad guy.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe I was the predator and just getting what I wanted out of the deal. Okay. And could care less if there were other people involved.
But no, no, no. So we're going to back up here for a second. Because while that sounds great, and he said he was straight up and honest with them that he always planned on going home, but he was in a committed relationship with one girl and a committed relationship to another girl. So at some point, he had led these girls to believe, with his own words, that they were in a committed relationship. Whether it was going to lead to marriage or not, he had these bitches thinking they were committed, and he wasn't. So right. No, that excuse fucking doesn't count. You're still a dickhead.
Yeah, so see, this is where I disagree in that, is that, and this is what he and I spoke about, was that to me, he was always good to me.
Okay.
He was always good to my kid.
Yep.
He was always good to my friends and my family. And even if we were doing these other things, never treated me like a fuck girl, right? Okay. Never treated me the way that I saw that the girlfriends got treated. Always good to me. I don't care what he was doing with anybody else, but to me, as someone that he probably could have disrespected the most, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not his girl. I'm just a friend that happens to be sleeping together. He could have treated me the worst, but honestly treated me the best.
Right.
Because he could be 100% honest with me too, right? He didn't have to lie to me the way you had to lie to your girlfriends.
The way he chose to lie to his girlfriends.
Right. That he didn't do that with me. He was 100% who he was with me. And then he said, you know, well, I've spent the last 15 years searching for a best friend like you were to me. And I said, well, what keeps you from finding that? And he was like, well, they always want to sleep together and they always want to be my girlfriend.
Well, that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, but you don't think that he should be able to just find a girl that you can just be best friends with?
No, sure, but you gotta, but you gotta place that up front.
Right.
Because honestly, even though you guys had this great friendship, you guys were still sleeping together. Sex was still part of the equation.
Right.
You can't take sex out of it.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, you can't, what do you mean you can't take sex out of it?
I mean, you and him were just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you two still chose to have sex.
Right.
You two both made the decision to have sex, and you could not be friends without having sex at that point.
Right. Well, I think the difference here was that we could. Like, there were, it was never, I think because it was so honest, there was never this, like, can it not stop? It was very easy to turn it off. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm having a hard time describing it. But there was, the blurred line didn't happen because
there was no line.
Yeah. So there was, when whoever came up in one of our lives, there was never this weird jealous thing. It was like, okay, cool. See you later. See you in a few months. See you whenever, if that one doesn't work out. Like,
right.
Very, very respectful. I was very respectful to his girlfriends, besides the fact that I was
sleeping with them.
I know.
And he's not respectful to his girlfriends. So
no, I get that. 100%. 100%. Not defending him as a boyfriend.
Right.
At all. That was very shitty. Not defending myself. Like, if I was those girls' friends. Not at all.
No.
That's, but I didn't know those girls, and they weren't my problem.
Right. At that point,
which could be terrible, but it just wasn't my problem.
No, at that point, you know, you were, it's no, because the burden lies on him. He was the cheater, not you. You weren't in a relationship with someone else.
Right. You want to know how little it means to me? So he said, do you remember the one time my girlfriend showed up at my apartment? And you were at my house, and I was like, no. I was like, but that sounds terrible. And he was like, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and her friend showed up drunk at his apartment.
Uh-huh.
And my trooper was, I had an Isuzu trooper, was parked out front.
Right.
So they knew I was there. And he said they were banging on his bedroom window to open the door. And I was like, man, that sounds very intense. What happened? Well, he said that we had to let him in, and we were just, because we were such good friends, we were just like, hey, we were watching movies and fell asleep.
Right. What the hell?
No big deal. But that's how insignificant it meant to me.
Right.
Is that I don't remember that
and
at
he
all.
Does. And you want to know what the really sad part?
Because it probably scared the fuck out of him.
Well, you know, the really sad part is he probably really, truly did have real feelings for you because you guys were so honest, but because he was lying and cheating with other girls, you guys could never have anything.
Well, and that was something else that we had talked about too, that at that point, because where I mean, I literally was just getting separated. There wasn't, I've never thought of him like that. And
right.
I wasn't in that mind space at that time. My mind space was that I needed somebody to validate me because I was being told that I was fat and ugly and my husband had left me for somebody else, that I needed my own self-esteem back and I was going to use whoever I needed to get that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that I wasn't in a place where I was looking for a boyfriend. I didn't want a fucking boyfriend.
No.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Interesting that I just, it didn't register in my mind because it didn't mean anything to me.
Right, because it wasn't important to you at that point. It was,
right.
You were kind of using him for your own salvation, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And knowing him introduced me to more friends, which then established me in the community and made me stay here. If not, I probably would have gone home eventually.
Right.
I was the only person here in Jacksonville. And through him, I met Randy, and through Randy, I met Nate, and so it all worked out.
Yep.
So let me see if there's one last question. I don't know.
I have a question. I've got a question.
Okay.
What advice would you give your 18-year-old self? Considering after everything we just talked about.
Yeah, so I think maybe to chill out a little bit. Right. Just back then there was a lot of attitude and a lot of meanness and a lot of overreacting. And I think that to tell myself just to chill out and just to go with the flow of things and not be so much. I was so much.
I think we're all so much when we're young.
Yeah, it's a lot.
There's so much. When we're young, we're like, everything is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's so much pressure and anxiety and tension. And
yeah. Everything is over-dramatic.
Yes, everything's very dramatized.
Yeah, like the, you know, what your friends think of you or what so-and-so did, where in the long run, it doesn't fucking matter.
No, it doesn't.
So just to let it go, just to chill out and let it go. And I would say almost a lot of your 20s is like that. Like, I hate my 20-year-old self.
Oh, yeah. You know, my mom had always said that the best time of her life was in her 30s.
I agree.
30s are your best time because you're old enough to still enjoy everything, but you're wise enough to not let the petty shit get in your way, and you still have a great time.
Mm-hmm. So. I would agree. I think probably the last 5 years have been the best.
Yep.
Yeah, there's been so much growth, so much deeper connections, just letting go of certain things. And also, there's a lot of humbling. But in your 20s, you're fucking obnoxious.
You really are. You
think because you're an adult enough to... Yeah, exactly what you were about to say.
Yeah, you think you know everything.
Right.
You're like, I just graduated college. I know everything.
Yeah, and I have a full-time job. And, ooh, I have direct deposit. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, great. You got direct deposit. Who puts that fucking money in the account? Mommy and daddy. Right. Shut the hell up.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's what I would say. What about you?
I would tell my 18-year-old self to start investing in a retirement account.
Nice. That's probably what Nate would say.
Yeah. Start saving money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would tell myself.
Yeah, that's smart. Oh, here comes Nate on his rollerblades. I would have paid money to see him bust his ass.
Oh, my gosh. That's so wrong. Instead of waving to him, you're like, let him fall.
Do you know how funny it would have been if that was caught on camera and he didn't hurt himself?
That'd be pretty funny. But considering the guy just broke his fucking arm and then busted his knee up. He's kind of damaged goods right now.
I know. He's a lot. All right. Well, I think that's all I have.
Yeah, me too.
All right, good. Well, then I will see you soon. I'm going to come and do a drive-by on you soon.
Yes.
Get some farm eggs from you.
Awesome. I've got plenty.
All right. So anything else? Everybody just kind of email us. Let us know what's going on. Let us know what you guys want to hear. Looks like we have another 30 days of this. So if there's any topics you guys want to talk about, we don't want to talk about Corona 24/7.
No more Corona. I'm so tired of Corona. Guys, give us a topic. It's just a random fucking topic and we will take it.
Yeah, something fun. We'll still do our mini updates just because we do want to check in on everybody. I know you guys wanted to check up on us, but give us some ideas.
Yes. So as always, everyone, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
Goodbye.
Bye.